I have a subject that's been on my heart for several days. It's serious. Are you full tonight of the Spirit of God? Are you three quarters full, half full, quarter full, or are you empty? Let's turn to Nahum, 2nd chapter, 8th verse. It means something tonight if you and I are going to live for God, just how much of the Spirit of God, so to speak, that we have. Empty means containing nothing, or nothing but air, an empty chest, empty space, empty purse. Evacuated, not filled. Unfurnished, empty room, void, destitute of solid matter, empty air, destitute of force or effect as empty words, unsubstantial, unsatisfactory, not able to fill the minds or the desires, not supplied, having nothing to carry, hungry, wanting substance, destitute, waste, desolate, without a cargo. To exhaust, to make void or destitute, to deprive of the contents as to empty a vessel, to empty a well or a cistern, to waste, to make desolate, to become empty. It means something tonight on what we have. Full versus empty. If you were going to California, what would you do before you started your trip? Empty your tank and head out? Do you have a full tank or an empty tank? You want a full pen cartridge, an empty pen cartridge? You want a full water can or empty? You want a full checking account or empty? You want a full cell battery or empty cell battery? You want a full gallon of milk or empty? A garden with full fruit on plants or empty plants? Closet full of clothes or an empty closet. It's time to eat. You want full pots or empty pots? You want a full refrigerator or an empty refrigerator or freezer? For work, do you want a full work week or an empty week? If you're having a sales seminar, do you want a full room or an empty room? Do you want a full house for your family or an empty house? If you need to get a lot of work done or call for several to help, church work day, let's say, do you want a full crowd or an empty crowd? Now, how well can you dress with an empty closet? How far can you go with an empty gas tank? How much can you get with an empty kitchen cabinet? All right, empty can be good, it can be bad, or it can be horrible. An empty plate of good food is good. Animals plate empty is good. A child's plate empty in them is good. Empty glass of water or drink is good. But you had a get-together, and it's nice to have an empty place as everyone is tired. Unloading a truck, van, or car, ships, nice to have them empty. If you had a business to fill up jars, cans, etc., you would need a lot of empty jars or cans. Now, what is bad is a child's plate that's half empty, and they don't want more. And you feel they need it, and they've thrown it on the floor. Or you have a half-empty plate because there's not enough and you're still hungry. Animal's bowl half-empty, not eating. Half-empty glass and there's no more drink. You're getting tired and people still at a get-together half-empty. You're worn out, the van, truck, car, ship, and it's only half-empty. If you had a business to fill cans or jars and no empty containers to fill. Now what is horrible is the spiritual half-empties and total empties. They're out there and more than ever. A person that starts to not read or pray enough, that starts going toward empty. Then they start missing meetings some. The Lord trying to give them light. They don't want to respect that, small things. Then they start rejecting more and more light. Less reading, prayer, and less meeting. If you and I are going to get to heaven, we're going to have to go by the power of God. We're going to have to do what God would have us to do. We're going to have God, and we're going to have every bit of God that we need to get there. You're not going to get there on an empty tank. You're not going to be blessed on an empty tank. You're not going to be as blessed on three-quarter half if you would be on full. There's people tonight that's been able to do what they've done, and they've done it because of God. They've done it because they were full of the Spirit of God. They've done it because of fasting and prayer and studying and reading. They've done it because they've got into the spirit of things. They didn't just come along. They wasn't hobnob, but they got into it. They were serious about it. They desired to go to heaven. They wanted everything God wanted them to have, and they weren't just playing games, so to speak. They were all into it. If you got a sports team and you're a coach of that team, you want some boys, young men, that's all into it. You don't want them showing up on the field. They're not interested in playing. A coach can't get anywhere that way. He wants a man that is interested. Tonight, God's interested in taking you to heaven, but how interested are you going? He wants you to go worse than you do. But tonight, you and I are going to have to get into it. We're going to have to be energized and fired up to be able to do what God would have us to do. There's people tonight that just kind of ho-hum and so forth. You come in sometimes on Wednesday night and seem like nobody wants to testify. Nobody wants to sing. Everybody's tired. They didn't pray before they come. And the Lord's sitting there trying to get things going. And he, the pastor and the Lord, nobody can get it fired up very good. Lord, help us. It's time to be filled with the Spirit of God. Let's go to Nahum, the 2nd chapter, 8th verse. It says here that, but Nineveh is of old like a pool of water, and yet there shall flee away. Stand, shall they cry, but none shall look back. Take ye the spoil of silver and the spoil of gold, for there is none end of the store and the glory out of all the pleasant furniture. She's empty, void, and waste. The heart melteth, and the knees smite together. And much pain is in all their loins, and their faces of them all gather blackness. She's empty. Oh, tonight we have a world that is empty of God. They're not interested in spiritual things. They're not interested even in religious things, so to speak. They're interested in what they want to do. They're interested in going where they want to go, being involved in what they want to do. They're not interested in the depths of being saved and living for God. He can call them and work with them. This country's in the mess it's in because it's empty of the Spirit of God. It's empty, folks. It's empty tonight. And you and I need to get filled up. We need to be on fire. We need to be doing what God have us do, and we need to be out there challenging and stirring those people that are out there that's running around that void of the Spirit of God. They don't know anything much about religion. They don't know anything about salvation. They're just going around doing their thing. But tonight, God wants you and I to be in a position where He can take us and use us. One of the most sad things is people that is empty of the Spirit of God. Years ago, I went down to Florida in 1980, I believe for the first time. Brother Egbert and I went down there for the fall meeting in Gould's. And we went down there and we got around Ocala, Florida. And Brother Egbert told me, he said, "Now in a little bit, Brother Carl, you're going to begin to get in some rolling hills." Now this was a blind man talking to me, if you didn't know who Brother Egbert Allen was. He'd been blind for a number of years. And he said, "You're going to come to a place that you're going to top and you're going to begin to see luscious orchards. You're going to see grapefruit. You're going to see oranges and so forth." And so I did. And I got to looking, and it was beautiful. And I got to driving on down and saw this and saw that as far as beautiful orchards. And then you get on down close to Gould's and down in through there, and they have their big places that's growing plants and so forth by the hundreds and the thousands. And they're down there, and everything's looking real beautiful. Well, that was in 1980. And about 1986, I think it was, Florida had a blight or something that went through Florida and killed hundreds and thousands of trees. And we were coming back through. And as we were coming back through, Well, we went down. I don't remember my thoughts so much going down. Maybe that's going down I'm thinking about. But anyway, I began to see whole orchards had been plowed up. Or not plowed up, but bulldozed up. They were just bulldozed up and in piles over here and over there. That thing had gone through and destroyed thousands and thousands and thousands of trees. There wasn't the pretty fruit. There wasn't the pretty plants. There wasn't the pretty trees. There was nothing there but bare ground except where they had the big piles at. Tonight, listen, the devil has gone through and he has made void the Spirit of God, so to speak, in the United States, in the fact that people are running around empty, and the devil is having a heyday, and the Lord is calling, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I want to give you rest, and people are still going on, and the devil's got people empty. He's got them in piles, so to speak. They're set for the burning. Listen tonight, devil wants to take everybody he can to hell. He wants to take everybody he can to a place of torment. And tonight the Lord is saying, come unto me. Empty. She is empty. Do you know that God makes places empty sometimes? Towns and cities, homes and land, cars, trucks, boats, tractors. Sometimes God can make some things empty too. But oh, tonight, what can you do with an empty checking account? How many of you want to work all week and get out at the end of the week and nothing in the checking account? Oh, tonight, let's go to Matthew 28 chapter and first verse. Matthew 28 and 1. Let's read about something that's most wonderful. The end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon it. His countenance was like lightning and raiment, white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said to the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen. As he said, come ye and see the place where the Lord lay. Then I want you to go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear. And great joy and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hail. And they came and they held him by the feet and they worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Oh, tonight, one of the greatest things that's ever happened to Christianity, or the greatest thing that's ever happened, is an empty tomb. The very fact that this sealed and put in position everything that Christ had desired, everything the Father had desired, everything they had put together as far as a plan of salvation. Listen, the devil didn't stop him when he was a baby. The devil didn't stop him in the 40 days of fasting. The devil tried to make void. He tried to make empty. He tried to stop everything God done, everything Christ done. But it got down to it. The Lord kept working. He gave the devil Bible. He stopped him. He rebuked him. He stood against him. He done everything to need. Listen, Jesus, he prayed all night at times. He needed the power, the glory, and he had it, and he wouldn't give it up. Listen, folks, tonight we've got to have that same power. If Jesus had to have it, you got to have it. If he need to be full of the Spirit of God, you need to be full of the Spirit of God. We have to have the very workings of the Spirit of God if we're going to be able to do what we need to do, because the devil's after you just like he was Christ. Devil done everything he could do to stop it. Like I said, he started as a baby, and right down at the very end in the garden, Christ had to pray and rebuke and stand against the very enemy that tried to stop it. But bless God, he went all the way. He went through everything that they had for him. And it got down now, and they've come to look at the tomb, and it's empty. The resurrection is complete. The plan of salvation is complete. It's set in place. Praise God tonight for an empty tomb, saints. Thank you, Lord, for giving and doing everything that you've done, that we might have the plan of salvation tonight. Oh, thank the Lord that he went all the way. Are you going to go all the way? Oh, sure I am. Are you? Are we going to be able to make it? Listen, folks, not we need to tremble before God. Sure, I know a lot of it in here are desirous and want to make heaven our home. But I want to beg you tonight, we're almost in 2019 and the devil's doing everything he can do to stop people. I've seen people that made a good start. I've seen people that run a good race to a point. But I've seen people that made shipwreck too. It's not guaranteed. The only thing guaranteed is you and I to be full of the power and the Spirit of God, whereby you and I can keep going, praise God. We've got a long journey. If you live for quite a few years, this journey's going to be quite a long journey. You're going to meet a lot of battles. You're going to have a lot of trouble and problems. It ain't all going to be roses all the way. But I'm going to tell you tonight, God can bless you and help you and strengthen you and keep you if you keep full of the Spirit of God. Thank the Lord. You don't want to go around empty. Oh, tonight, let's go to the Luke, the 20th chapter, 9th verse, Luke 20 and 9. Then spake he, then began he to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and let it out to husbandmen and went to a far country for a long time. And at the season, he sent a servant to the husbandman that they should give him the fruit of the vineyard. But the husband beat them, sent him away empty. And again, he sent another servant. They beat him also and entreated him shamefully. They sent him away empty. And again, he sent a third. They wounded him also and they cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I know what I'll do. I will send my beloved son. It may be that they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard, and they killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen, and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. And he held them and said, what is it? What is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. And whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. But whosoever it shall fall, and whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, and they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. Now the Jewish church, or the Jewish people, God brought in and out of Egypt and set them into place and made them his people. He sent people to them to warn them and to challenge them and to educate them and everything by prophets. And he done it over and over and over down through the years, trying to get them, to help them. They kept doing this, and he would warn them and challenge them and stir them. And they'd do this, and he'd do it again. But when he did, they just took what he said, and they sent it back empty. In other words, they didn't take what the prophet said. They just passed it off and went ahead and done what they wanted to do. Well, I don't want to do that. I really don't need to quit worshiping this idol, or I don't need to quit this. I want to do what I want to do. And God faithfully, down through the years, he worked with them and dealt with them, but they kept doing the same thing over and over and over. God destroyed them one day. What, about 70 years after Christ was crucified, he just wiped the Jewish nation out. He had had enough of it. Listen tonight, the Lord is here in this meeting, and he's here for a reason. He's trying to warn us. He's trying to challenge us and stir us, edify us, encourage us. He's trying to help us. But tonight, folks, if you and I send away the message that he's got for you, there's no doubt one message, maybe several messages. I've heard people say a certain message was just what I needed, or the whole meeting was just what I needed. I went down to La Rondra. I've said this once. Some heard me. I went to La Rondra. Hadn't been in a meeting all fall. That's unusual for me. And I went down there, and the Lord blessed that meeting so that I was just filled and blessed. I got to think about it. I thought, well, was it that I was so hungry? Or was the meeting that good? Well, I think it was a dual thing. The meeting was very, very good. The preaching was wonderful. The singing was wonderful. But I was hungry, see? Did you come to this meeting hungry? Are you looking for more? Are you wanting to get a deeper depth or a higher height? Are you wanting to get victory and more power? Are you wanting a closer walk with Jesus? Just what do you want tonight? Are you here and you're going, I don't want that. Don't bother me. I'm not interested in that message. Go away. And sent it away empty. I'm going to tell you, the Jews sent it away empty one time too many. And the Lord sent something, and it wasn't pretty when he got through. I'm going to tell you tonight, we can send away things, and it can start a downward spiral with you and I. And as the Lord tries to turn us around, if we're not careful, the devil will keep slipping things in, and we'll keep going like that. We'll keep pushing it back and back and back, trying to stop. And the Lord whispering and talking and calling, and we're just trying to push it back. Listen, folks, tonight, we can push it back till we hit the bottom and we're empty. Where are we at tonight? Why are we here tonight? What have we got out of this meeting tonight? Or not this meeting particularly, but the whole meeting. Are you getting what you come for? Are you hungry? If you go to the table and mom's fixed a good meal, or your wife's fixed a good meal, and you go there and you look at her and say, well, I don't want any of that. You're missing out. And the person that made it wasted all their time. I've seen cases. I know of a case. Let me put it that way. That we were sitting, went to somebody's home. And this was in the very beginning of Rebecca's nervous breakdown. At that point, we didn't know what her problem was. We didn't know she had trouble. And we went to a person's place. And this sister can cook quite well. I've eaten her dishes many times, so to speak. And she had made a very good meal that night. And I see my wife sit down and get up and walk away and hardly touch it. She couldn't eat it. I'm going to tell you tonight, the devil wants you not to eat anything if he can keep you from eating it. He wants to get you where you're starving to death because he is in such a way to keep you from getting what you need. I'm going to tell you tonight, we need to say, Lord, I want it all, praise God. I'm looking, I'm hungry, I'm desiring. Lord, I want more of you. I want to read more, pray more. I want to be in service more. I want to do what you'd have me to be. I want to be surrendered to the will of God. I'm going to tell you tonight, Lord, help us to get turned loose and get into the things of God tonight. Israel turned him away one time too many. We don't need God. God don't need us, so to speak, but we need God. He don't have to have no preachers. He's been preaching before I was born and any other preacher in here. He can do better than all of us put together and all the preachers that's ever been. And I know there's anointing. I know there's power. And I know there have been powerful preachers down through the earth. I'm not slamming the ministry, but I'm trying to bring a point. The bottom line is Jesus don't have to have us, but we got to have him. We've got to have that power. We've got to have that spirit. We've got to have him working in our midst. We don't have a college education. We're filled by the Spirit of God. And that's what makes us what we are. If we don't have it, we're in trouble. Oh, tonight, Lord, help us. Oh, why are you here tonight? Have you been pushing off a message? Maybe the Lord sent something and just what you needed, but yet you thought about it. No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. And you ponder it. Listen, folks, sometimes the longer you ponder, if you're not careful, the worse it can get. In other words, what I mean by that is you're more likely not to do it than do it. So tonight, Lord, help us. As the Lord is calling and working, I want to beg you tonight, move. As God is unctioning, is calling and working, we can push back all we want, but it'll be to our detriment, folks, is what it will be. Oh, I sent them away empty over and over and over. God. How many times have you ever heard somebody make the statement that the Lord dealt with them and said, this is your last call? Or how many people have you ever heard that said, I crossed the line and I knew when I crossed it? My mother told of a man down in the state of Mississippi in her home congregation that God had dealt with him and dealt with him. And finally, during a revival meeting, the Lord was working strong with him. And he said, no, I will not live for you. And when he done that, he knew he had crossed the line. The Spirit of God backed up and never dealt with him again. He would stand up and cry, folks. He would beg people to go to the altar. He'd beg them to get saved. He'd stand there and cry and say, I can't go to heaven. I'm lost forever. Never get there. Why? Because he pushed him back. He wanted to stay empty. He didn't want what God had. My grandfather dealt with two different people, working with them. And one of them, they'd ask questions and grandfather would answer them and so forth. And they were seemingly coming, but yet they were pushing it back too. And one day one of them pulled up in front of their house and he drank some poison and it killed him right there. Another one, the same way. God was working and calling. Grandfather was dealing and working, trying to help these people to get saved, trying to help them to get what they needed. And they kept pushing back on it. And one went down. He took a knife and he went like this. And he slit his throat and he died. He bled to death. I'm going to tell you, the devil, he wants you bad. And he'll do anything he can do to get you. The Lord wants you bad. He done everything he could do by giving his life for you. He died for you that you might go to heaven. And yet we're going, no, I don't want to live for you. No, I don't want to be filled with the Spirit of God. No, I don't want to preach or teach or whatever. I don't want to do that. Listen tonight, folks, I beg you. It's time to get on board. It's time to get fired up. It's time to do what God wants you to do tonight. I mean, people are turning it down and pushing it off. It's not easy sometimes, but I got news for you. Been in this way 47 years now, and I'd rather take what I've got than what President Trump and Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and all the world has got. I don't want any of that stuff. I want Jesus tonight, praise God. Lord, help us to want him. Not send the message back. Say, I don't want that, Lord. Just send it away empty, so to speak. Not full of something that will help people. Not full of something that will bless you. Oh, I don't want that. My brother told me a while back. We were talking about cars and the new fuel pumps in cars. And used to we had fuel filters. Somewhere, a lot of in my early years of working in a service station, a lot of the fuel filters were right up on the engine. And you could go in there and change them out. They was in a little container and you just screwed it up and popped it out, popped the new one in there, and put it back in, screwed it back up, got it tight, checked it, everything's all right, you went your way. Well, then some of them got where they was down on the frame, in the line, and so forth, on the other side, and so forth. But now then, you know where the filters are? They're right with the fuel pump. They're built in, I guess you'd say. I'm getting a yes from Brother Dan, so I'm on the right track. Thank you, sir. So, I talked to my brother about it. And he said, Carl, I want to tell you something you need to do. When you get down to a quarter tank, you need to fill back up. Why do I need to do that for? He said, because that fuel pump can get too hot. It's kept cool, if I understand it, by the fuel that's in the tank. So don't let that get just emptier and emptier and emptier. But you get down to a point there and you go in the gas station, you fill it back up. I've been trying to do that. When we come to these meetings, are we coming? Say we're at a quarter. It's time to get filled up, folks. Even if you're a half or three quarters, it's time to be sure you're full. Time you walk out of this meeting, whether it be an individual service or the whole meeting, it's time to be on fire for God, praise God. You need to go back and fire your congregation up. You need to go back and be a blessing to people, testifying, rejoicing, and so forth. You need that. There was a congregation one time many years ago, they had the most powerful conviction meeting of any meeting I've ever been in my ministry. There was another evangelist. He and I both was in that meeting. I'd never seen anything like it. I've still never seen anything like it. And so he and I would talk different times, or have talked. I don't know how to say it right here. And so this particular congregation seemed like they were, Lord help me here, seemed like they were slipping a little bit. So I went to the pastor and I talked to him about it. He said, yeah, I know. He wasn't dumb to the fact. I love him dearly. We worked together well. And after that, I don't know just how long, maybe a year to two, he told me, he said, I felt like the Lord had showed me something and given me something to preach and to work with and to deal with. He told me what it was. And I'm not going to get into all that. But then the Lord come down. And all of a sudden things began to change. And a minister in that congregation called me. I've been talking to them. And they said, Brother Carl, I want to tell you something. Said, we're getting on fire now. Things are different. There's movement. You can see it in the congregation. You can hear it in the testimonies and so forth. And God's working down here. Well, it appears that to be true. And I'm going, thank you, Jesus. But what about your congregation? That's just one. There's congregations from California to South Carolina. I've been in nearly every congregation of the Church of God Saints from coast to coast. I've preached in them. I've held meetings in them and so forth. But I want to know, what's your congregation doing? There's evangelists can come in and the Lord can bless in meeting and still people are not getting the help they need. Been places over and over and over down through the year and seen the same level. Not going up really, maybe not going too far down, but kind of the same level, and you can't move them. No matter what you preach, no matter what the Lord does, they don't budge. What I'm fixing to tell you is a gospel truth. It was a winter meeting, or a late fall. Man, I know it was a winter meeting, I guess. And we were in this place, and we were preaching on the subject of hell. And the thermostat on the heater in that building somehow got stuck temporarily. And it got hotter and hotter and hotter. This is no lie now. And it got hotter and hotter. And one of the head men of that congregation was trying to get that thing to operate and get it to shut down. And it wouldn't shut down for quite a while. It just got hotter and hotter. I thought, thank you, Lord. Thank you for heating it up in here. But you know, it didn't do a whole lot of good. It didn't do a whole lot of good. What's it going to take tonight to get us to move, folks? We get like a bunch of old donkeys in there, and you can't get us to budge. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to be willing to say, yes, Lord. Help us to be willing to do what God wants us to do. The Lord is trying to move people, and they're just stuck in like an old donkey, and you can't budge them. And the devil's going, you don't want to do that. You don't want to go there. You don't want to be here. You don't want to dress like that or give like that or do like that. And the Lord's saying, please, child, come unto me and let's do this. Let's do this. All right, let's go to Exodus 23 and 10. Exodus 23 and 10. Thou shalt not oppress a stranger. This is 23 and 9. For you know the heart of a stranger, seeing you were strangers in the land of Egypt. And 6 years thou shalt sow thy land and shalt gather in the fruits thereof. But the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat. And what they leave, the beast of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard. 6 days shalt thou do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. In all things that I have said unto thee, be circumspect, and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. 3 times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee, in the time appointed of the month of Abib. For in that thou comest out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of the harvest, the first fruit of thy labors, which I have sown in the field, and the feast of the ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. Three times in the year all the males shall appear before the Lord God. And thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning. The first of the first fruits of thy land shalt thou bring into the house of the Lord thy God, and thou shalt not seethe a kid in his mother's milk. Deuteronomy 16 and 14. Just three scriptures here. 16, 13. And thou shalt observe the feast of the tabernacle 7 days after that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. Thou shalt rejoice in the feast, in thy feast, thou and thy son, and thy daughter, and thy manservant, and thy maidservant, and the Levite, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow that are within thy gate. 7 days shall they keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God, in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all the works of thine hand. Therefore thou shalt surely rejoice. Three times in a year shall all the males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. The Lord doesn't want people appearing before him empty. When you and I want to deal with the saints here a little bit. When you and I tonight, when we go to meeting, what are we there for? Well, I'm there to hear the preacher preach. Singers sing. I'll sing a little bit. I'll raise my hand occasionally. But you know, this thing isn't just about one person. It's not about two people or three people. I tell you what it's about. It's about all of us. We're in this together. The Lord wants this, a full body, to work together. He puts everybody in the body as it pleases him. He puts them where he wants them. And all of us work together in this to bless one another. So you come into a service. Don't come into a service empty. Now, I'm not saying everybody's got to get up after Brother Philip and testify on Sunday morning at the meeting. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, on Wednesday night in particular, it's time for you to come into these services and be ready to do what God would have you to do, to pray about it, have a scripture, a song, whatever you need to do that the Lord would have you to do, and come in and be willing to do your part. Do you know there is people that are congregation? Let me put it this way. There is congregations that maybe there's about three people in a whole congregation will lead out in prayer. Woo! I've told them in places I'm not here to be the prophet, priest, and king. But do you know a lot of times I've done the praying, I've done the preaching, and had Rebecca help me do the singing, so to speak. And that's not the way the Lord wants it. He wants people to be willing. Well, I can't lead out in prayer. Why not? How much do you pray at home? Now, I'm not wanting to scold us, but I'm wanting to stir us up, saints. I've been there over and over when only this one will pray and that one will pray. And I'm talking about congregations that have pastored. I pastored three different, so a total of about 20 years between the three of them. And there's most congregations don't hardly have anybody that lead out in prayer. And the preacher's wife will do it, and maybe the pastor will do it. But listen, folks, it needs to be more than that. Lord, help us to be willing to go and get in service and do what we can do. Don't go there empty. Go there full. Go there with a prayer. Go there with a song. Go there with a testimony or Bible reading or an exhortation. Get there and give what God would have you to give, and bless the church, praise God. Amen? When I was here from 1987 in the fall to the spring of 1991, there is testimonies that was given this congregation on Wednesday nights through the years that I still carry with me today. Things of answers to prayer that God had done that was miraculous. And I have thought on those and used those and considered those down all these years since I resigned in 1991. That's what the Lord wants. He wants you to give something that can be a blessing to somebody for years to come. I can't do that. Yes, you can. If the Lord anoints it, it'll go with a person. I know a man one time that was in a service in a place, and a message was preached. The Lord was trying to get this man to come out of Babylon and come with the saints, and he just didn't want to quite do it. And the Lord sent a message, and that message followed that brother for, I believe it was 15 years. 15, Brother Ed. He finally come out. I'm going to tell you, Lord, help us to be quicker than 15 years. Help us to be on Johnny on the spot when the Lord says something and is after us, that we'll be willing to move now, not next year or the year after or the year after that. Lord, help us to be filled with the Spirit of God and saying, yes, Lord. Not come in empty on Wednesday night. Even in a meeting. Now, singers, good meetings need good special singing. I want to challenge you, singers, get you some songs. Get it on your knees, but get you some songs. Do you know some of the special singings in our services down through the years has been great blessings to souls? It has sometimes fired it up and there was no preaching at all. Altar work on top of that. Because of the Spirit of God working. Somebody had a burden. Somebody was full of the Spirit. And God gave a song and they got up that night. And that got things to rolling by the Spirit of God. And it kept going all the way to people getting saved and sanctified and satisfied. And we were all rejoicing. And this has happened more than one time in 40-something years. The Lord wants people full of the Spirit of God. He wants us to go into meetings, camp meetings, revival meetings, assembly meetings, Sunday services, Wednesday nights. He wants us to have something besides an empty basket. Well, it's the preacher's duty. No, it ain't all the preacher. Lay it on the pastor. Poor pastor, he's got enough to carry. You know what a pastor is? Let me tell you what a pastor is. A pastor is a mule standing in a pouring downpour with his head down and his ears flopped, so to speak. And it's just hitting him in every way, and he's just standing there taking it over and over and over and over. And then you come in and you don't have anything to bless him with. Lord, help us. I told him many a time in different places, I said, you preach to me on Wednesday night. I preach to you on Sunday. You come and preach to me. And they've done it. I want to tell you, I want to challenge you to preach on Wednesday night, so to speak. Bring something. Don't come in empty with a hangdog look, as Brother Bob said one time, but come in fired up and full and ready to have something that'll bless people, praise God. We come in and we can barely get in the door and we can barely get out the door. And I know sometimes we're tired of being there. But the bottom line is we need to be able to have something that will bless people. All right, let's go to Luke 1 and 15. Let's wrap her up. And you pray for us to finish this up. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arms. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and he sent the rich he has sent away empty. He has holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house. All right, I want the 18th chapter of this book, Luke 18 and 10. Luke 18 and 10. He says here, 18 and 9, he spake this parable unto certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into a temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now he said he filled the hungry with good things, but he sent the rich away empty. This Pharisee come in the 18th chapter of Luke, and he was pretty rich in himself, wasn't he? He said, I prayed, I'm not as other men are. I'm not extortioners. I'm not unjust. I'm not adulterer, even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. In other words, I'm a good man, Lord. But said he prayed thus with himself. I'm going to tell you tonight, he come in there rich, and he went away empty. The publican come in there, and he humbled his heart, and he smote his breath, and he begged for mercy, and God blessed him. He brought up, and he brought down at the same time. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people coming in that's too rich. They're too high and mighty in their own mind. Brother Hargrave said one time, we need to be coming down on our belly, just coming up like a snake almost to the altar and begging for mercy. Said some people want to ride down in a big old chariot with the white horses, so to speak. He said, no. He said, get down real low, praise God. If we're going to get God to bless us, we need to get down where he's at, where a stream finds a bed that is lowly. I'm going to tell you tonight, if you're rich in your own mind, if you think you've got it all, if you got a lot of money, or whether you don't, the bottom line is there's a lot of rich people in their mind, in their heart, so to speak, that's going around thinking they're better than other people. It's time to get out where the Lord is. Yes. Amen. Get out where the Lord is, in the low spot. If you want the blessings, if you want the power, if you want the glory, if you want to be filled up, praise God, get out where Jesus is, praise the Lord. He wasn't born in a big fancy hospital or castle or mansion. He was born in a stable. In the lowliest of places. But he had the most glorious birth of anybody. I'm going to tell you tonight, if you want a glorious birth, you know, ever so often they have what they have, the royal weddings. Had two of them in the last year over in England. One of them was Prince Harry, I guess, and married Markle, and they had a royal wedding. And then another one, it was Fergie's daughter, I guess it was, got married. And there's a lot of hoopla and a lot of TV coverage and all this. Here's the royals getting married. I didn't watch, hear, listen to either one of them. I got news for you. There's some other royalty getting married too. It happens all around the world. And that is when Jesus Christ marries some sinner. That sinner gets down, praise God, and he starts begging for mercy like the publican did, saying, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, save my soul. And the great royalty of royalties, King of kings and Lord of lords, comes walking up, praise God, and he saves them. He picks them up and out of a horrible pit. He sets their feet on a rock. He establishes their God, puts a new song in their mouth, praise God. That's a royal wedding right there, folks. That's where the glory is. That's where the blessing is. It's going to do a lot of people good. When the royal wedding happens, spiritually, so to speak, there's going to be a lot of blessings, praise God. Oh, tonight, there's royal weddings taking place all around the world. I'd say a lot. There's people in heaven we ain't ever going to know. No, here till we get there. There is people that's of this race and that and the other that's getting saved, royal weddings. I got news for you. All these others is going to stand back when the judgment comes. When Jesus brings it all and sets up the white of beautiful array, and the saints go marching in, I'm going to tell you, everything else is going to have to stand back. And the angels, when we go marching in, I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. They can't sing it. And there's going to be millions of them don't have any idea what redemption means. Let's go to Matthew, the 12th chapter, and let's finish up now. Matthew 12 and 42, I believe, where I want to read. Matthew 12 and 42. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Now then, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and he findeth none. Then he saith, I'll return into my house from whence I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last day of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also under this wicked generation. In this reading of Scripture, does it matter whether we're empty or we're full? Pretty serious right here. When you and I get saved, my advice according to this Scripture is you better keep what you got. Because the devil is not going to go out there and lie down and never come knocking around again. He's never going to show up and go boo. Or he's never going to show up and shake your hand, so to speak. Devil's just going to go out there and lay down and die. No. I've been saved for quite a while now. And the devil likes to show up regularly trying to tempt me and test me or whatever. He's trying to do all these little things. I've had him stand me almost face to face different times and come there and try to tempt me or come there. And I told him, I think once in his meeting already, but he showed up one night back in the 70s when I was in my service station and shutting the business down for the night and pulling the lube doors down. And he walked up and just like he stood right here in front of me. Now, I was in a battle. I wasn't really on the mountaintop totally, but I hadn't given up neither. And I was still living for God. And the devil goes, you're going to say that you're going to give up. I stood there a minute. I said, no, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to stand and live for God. I'm going to get the victory totally. I'm going to do everything he wants me to do. I said, get on out of here and leave me alone. And he left. Sometimes you got to get a little rough with the devil, so to speak. You got to resist him in the power of God. He left, but is that the only time he's come around in 40-some years? No. How many of you have ever had to fight with the devil, so to speak? Am I the only one? No. He's come around with all of us. Listen, folks, as long as we're full, we've got the Spirit. We've got a power source to help us. But folks, if he comes and we're empty of the one that helps us, we're in trouble. Amen? We're in trouble. That's why I've got this burden, folks. There's people out there that's getting too empty. That's what's happened. That's what some of the older ones of us has watched down through the years. We've watched people and watched people. Some of us has done all we could do. I have begged and pleaded with people at times and still watched them go down. Couldn't stop it. No matter what we did, prayed and talked and everything. And like one minister said, just kind of slipped through your fingers no matter what you did. That hurts. I tell you, preachers have got feelings, and you want to take something like that. The evangelists and the pastors, they do all they can do to get people to heaven, and still they watch them, and they help them, and they try to help them, and they do all they can do, and it looks like it just slips through their fingers no matter what you do. You talk about hurt. You talk about tears. You talk about begging and pleading. And then you look at them and it's just a downward slope from that point. Where are you at tonight? How much of the Spirit of God have you got? Are you on fire like the song said? Are you fired up for God? Well, preacher, no, I'm not on fire. Are you saved? Are you sanctified? Where are we at tonight? The Lord's calling tonight. Where are you at? It's time to get everything I want to give you. I want to give you a lot. If I laid $1 million down on this altar and said, come get it, how many of you would walk out and leave it? How many of you would not come down and get you a portion of that? There was an actor here back about the first of the year, the end of last year, I guess it was, and he decided he was going to give $13 or $14 million to his friends. So he went and bought briefcases big enough to hold $1 million in each one. And he got them and he filled them at the bank, got the money, filled them all up, took them to his house, called his 13, 14 friends and called them over there. And he said, going to have a dinner here, the wife's preparing or whoever. And they had a nice meal. I'd like to think steak and potatoes and all that good stuff, but no, I think that's what it was. Anyway, after they went in the living room and he got them all to sit down in their living room there, and he went and started getting one briefcase at a time. And he told him, said, just wait till I'm through with all of this. And he set them there and he said, now I want you to open them. And there was $1 million in each one for his friends. Now I don't know, folks, but he didn't call me. I doubt if he called anybody in this room, and some of us in here could need it a lot more than probably the ones that he gave it to. They were probably already had quite a bit of money. And he paid the taxes on top of the million he gave them. The Lord's got some riches far greater than $1 million, $2 million, $3 million. He's got an inheritance. He's got something to bless you with. And consequently, he's got it right down here and he's saying, come and get it. And people are going out the door saying, I don't want it. Just send away empty. I wonder, down through the years, how many people has walked out of our buildings empty? I was in the process of just getting emptier and emptier, so to speak. The Lord working. There was a message preached right here in Guthrie. I didn't hear it. It was just in a regular service. And at the end of the service, the man met the preacher at the door and he said, you need to rip every bit of the sayings of Paul right out of the Bible. Ain't no truth to it. That minister was so shell-shocked, he didn't know hardly what to say. I don't remember just what he said. He had a comeback to it, but he was stunned. I'm going to tell you, somebody's got to be empty if they want to start ripping Paul out of the Bible, or Mark, or Matthew, or Luke, or John, or whoever. I'm going to tell you tonight where we at. How much do we have? There's riches to be had. There's glory to be had. There's blessings to be had. I'd rather have what I've got than all the world and the riches out there. Oh, tonight. It said here, Clark says on this, it said, into my house, the soul of that person from whom he had been expelled by the power of Christ, and out of which he was to have been kept by continual prayer, faith, and watchfulness, and coming back and found it empty, findeth it empty, unoccupied, empty of the former inhabitant, and ready to receive a new one, denoting a soul that has lost the life and power of godliness and the testimony of the Holy Spirit. Found it unoccupied. Where are you at tonight? Do you have the Spirit of God? Are you saved? Did you come in this meeting wanting to get saved? Thinking about getting saved? It's time to get saved. The devil's working as hard as he can. And he ain't going to leave. No matter how many times, so to speak, I prayed for him to go down the street, he's still coming around. Still having to rebuke him, still having to stand against him. The devil's out there, folks. And if you're saved, he's going to come around and he's going to check ever so often. And he's going to look. And it depends on you what he finds. Let's stand. Let's have a number. Appreciate your time, your attention, your prayer tonight. Pray for me. I want to make heaven my home.